Hi, so the Bible reading tonight comes from Romans 8, 1-4, and then verses 38-39. So that's Romans 8, 1-4, and 38-39. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemns sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And then, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ our Lord.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. Good to see you. A great way to pray, Rachel. So wherever you are, that was good. Hey, we're going to look at, in the 9:30 and 4:30, we just started a series looking at Romans chapter 8 and Romans chapter 12. And because the youth have been away on their retreat, you just get the first part of that talk. So if you really like the talks, you can just download the podcast later on, but that's what we're doing. And the talks really are about transformation. Like, how does actually transformation happen? How do we actually change as followers of Jesus? Of course, our vision statement is to see lives transformed through Christ-centered community. But again, how does that happen? Most theologians, many writers would say that the book of Romans is the most important piece of literature in the history of the world, and that perhaps Romans 8 is the highest point of Romans. And Romans 8 really is about the Holy Spirit and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and how the Holy Spirit helps us to make the truths of the gospel and the truths of Jesus alive for us. So in this series, what I'm actually interested in is not just, you know, how we behave or the things that we do. Rather, what I'm interested in is our experience of God. To actually know God and to experience God. Not just to be kind of become a good person or an ethical person or just do the right things or, you know, turn up on a roster all the time. But to actually have your identity and your very being established in the love of God, and you actually know and experience his love and you live out of this gospel of grace. Paul says we have to actually know the Holy Spirit. We have to actually experience the Holy Spirit at work in our lives to be able to experience this love. Paul in Ephesians chapter 3 prays this. He says, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your innermost being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. Friends, that is actually a prayer of experience. Paul is actually praying that you and I would actually experience and know the love of God right down to the core of our being. And I guess the question that I have for you tonight is that the condition of your heart? Is that the condition of your life as you actually came into this room? Have you been living today out of this overriding sense that your life is just bathed in and you swim in the presence and the love of God? The Holy Spirit actually comes into a person's life when you actually place your faith in Christ. And the Holy Spirit actually connects our life with the life of God. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, it says that we may participate in the divine nature. That doesn't mean that we actually become God, but in a sense, we are actually invited into the fellowship of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We have our dwelling and fellowship and communion with God himself. And again, can I actually ask you the question, Is that actually a reality for you? Do you know the Spirit's work in your life, convincing your heart and your mind and your soul that you are just overwhelmingly loved by the most powerful love in this universe? If the climax of the Bible is Romans, and the climax of Romans is Romans chapter 8, where the climax of the climax of the climax is verses 38 to 39, where the Apostle Paul says this, he says, I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Friends, that is what the ministry of the Holy Spirit is trying to get you to, where you realize that there is nothing, nothing in all of creation that can actually separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, that's a long introduction, isn't it? Like, that's a lot of words. But I'm actually going to pray now. What I'm going to pray is that actually God's Spirit will actually take these words from the Apostle Paul, that he'd actually take my feeble and my stumbling and my broken words, but somehow you'll have a sense of God's Spirit speaking into your heart and into your mind, and actually when you leave this place tonight, you will be overwhelmed with this sense that God's love for you is upon you and it can never be taken from you. Do you want to know that? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I acknowledge that my words are incredibly, incredibly, they're just so inadequate, they're not clever, they're not smart, they're not wise. God, as I look at this passage, I've struggled all week. How do you communicate what you want to say, your mind to us from this passage? So, Father God, I pray that you'll fill that gap. I pray that your Holy Spirit will actually take my words and make this portion of Scripture alive to us so that we can know how to live and breathe and swim and actually experience you and experience your love. God, it's not enough for us to actually have a relationship with you that is actually distant and far off. You desire deep fellowship with us. And I pray we'll actually just take another step towards that tonight. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you've got your Bible or if you've got your phones, get up to Romans chapter 8, and I'll just give you a quick flyover of the chapter. So again, this is the most dense passage in the Bible and the teaching of the Holy Spirit. So if you want to understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit, you need to understand Romans chapter 8. And what is the Holy Spirit actually trying to teach us? Well, firstly, in verses 1 to 4, that nothing can separate you from the love of God because there is no condemnation. Verses 5 to 8, nothing can separate us from the love of God because the Spirit is actually at work in us, sanctifying us and changing us from the inside out. Verses 14 to 17, Paul shows us that the Spirit testifies with our spirit so that we know that we are sons and daughters of the living God and we can cry out, Abba, Father, we can call God Dad. Verses 18 to 27, the Spirit ministers to us in our time of need. When we're going through frustration or hardship or suffering, the Spirit actually points us to our future glory. It says, yeah, life is tough. Yeah, life is hard. Yeah, life is difficult. But look at what your future is. Verses 28 to 30 actually shows us that before the creation of the world, God knew you and God saw you and God chose you and God adopted you into his family and that his love for you can never, ever be removed. Through this passage, there are a number of questions that we have to answer. So in verse 31, if God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? Verse 33, who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? Verse 34, who then is the one who condemns? Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Friends, I need to know the answer to these questions. What shall actually separate me from the love of God? Because I don't know about you, but there are often times in my life where actually I feel quite cold towards God. Instead of having this close and intimate relationship where I just actually swim and I'm bathed in the love of God and I'm convinced of God's love for me, there are times in my life where I feel like God is just so distant. Instead of God actually loving me, I think actually he looks at me with a great deal of displeasure. At best, he kind of puts up with me. But the Spirit says that if I place my faith in Jesus, that is not the case. How so? Well, my talk tonight only actually has one point. Just settle it in. It's a long point, so don't get too excited. But if you're in the business of actually taking notes, it's just one point, and the point is there is no condemnation. So chapter 8, verse 1, Therefore there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So Paul uses this word therefore, and so we have to actually think, what has he actually been talking about in Romans chapter 7? Now, before we do that, put up your hand if sometimes when you come into church or when you think about your relationship with God and you're following Jesus, that you feel like a little bit of a fraud. Put up your hand if you feel that way sometimes. Put up your hand if you actually feel like you're a bit of a stuff up. You're a bit of a kind of a tryhard. You don't actually make the cut. You see all these people, they seem to have this great relationship with God, but you actually, in your heart, you don't experience that relationship and you feel like a bit of a stuff up, and again, you feel like a bit of a fraud. Put up your hand if you feel that way. Well, the Apostle Paul, who wrote these words, remember, he is the gun. He's the guru of the Christian faith. He's the best theologian that perhaps has ever lived. He's a great communicator. He's a great missionary. He's a great pastor. He's a great leader. He actually had his life transformed from the inside out from this gospel of grace. But look at how he describes himself in chapter 7, verse 21. He says, although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. Verse 24, he says, what a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me? So then, I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature a slave to the law of sin. Now, there's a fair bit of debate about who Paul is talking about in Romans chapter 7. Some say he's talking about his pre-Christian self, or some say he's talking about Israel, or some say he's talking about people who don't understand the gospel of grace or haven't received the Holy Spirit. But we can say this, that consistently with the experience of Paul and the teaching of the New Testament, the Apostle Paul says this. He says, I love God. I delight in the Scriptures. He says, I want to live a life that is pleasing to Jesus. I want to follow God with heart, mind, soul, and strength. Yet I sin and I fail and I sin and I fail and I fail and I fail and I fail and I fail. In verse 3, it says, the law of sin and death. And here Paul talks about the reality, that when we become Christians, you hear these talks and give your life to Jesus and you think, well, becoming a Christian is just going to be this, fantastic life of freedom. It's just going to be, amazing and life-giving, and I'm never going to face a difficulty or hardship in my life ever again. But Paul says, when you become a Christian, when you start following Jesus, sin is still there. He says, you fail as much as you succeed, and death is still there, death. But suffering and injustice and pain and sorrow. And he says, after a while, it begins to weigh you down. This sense of condemnation, this sense that I'm a failure, this sense that I don't actually quite make it. But see what Paul says? Paul says to all the stuff-ups in this room, to all the people who feel like you're completely inadequate when it comes to the Christian faith, for all the people who are actually perhaps even here tonight feel like actually you're giving up because you struggle with sin and it's the same sin over and 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 over again, hear what Paul says. What does he say to you? He says, now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation. even the possibility or the realm of condemnation has actually been removed. For those of us in Christ Jesus, what does that actually mean? It means that actually when you place your faith in Christ, everything that Jesus has achieved and everything that Jesus has is actually given to you. And do you know what that means? It means that your past and your present and your future sins are forgiven, they're dealt with, they're actually done away with. Because there is no condemnation, Paul is saying this is actually an experience that he experienced deep within his soul. Our life group studied this passage on Friday night. I just kind of did a dry run of my talk to see if it would work or not. And so we studied this passage and we was talking about Romans chapter 7, and then we got to Romans chapter 8 and I said, there is no condemnation. And then somebody in our life group put a hands on her hip and she says, yes, there is. There is condemnation for a Christian. And everybody else in our life group said, yes, that's right. There is condemnation. I feel condemnation all the time. And isn't that true? Most of us actually do Christian life this way. We know that we're saved by grace, but then somehow we feel like we have to actually earn our way back into God's pleasure. So we start trying to live the life that we know we're meant to live, doing all the right things, being a good person, praying, going to church. But then we sin and we fail and we actually end up back into condemnation, and then we pull ourselves up by our moral socks and we try hard again and say to God, I'm not going to sin again, and try and prove to God that we're, you know, really good people, and then we fail and then we're condemned, and our whole Christian life seems to be about going in and out of condemnation. But do you see what Paul says? He says, condemnation is not an appropriate emotion for a follower of Jesus, because he says, there is no condemnation. This word condemnation, it's really easy to understand. It's the picture of being in a court of law and there's a charge against you. You know, people bring charges against you and the case is actually heard, and then the judge actually announces, yes, you are guilty. The verdict guilty actually comes down upon you. You're put in handcuffs and you're taken away to prison. But what does Paul say? He says, the moment you actually place your faith in Jesus, the guilty verdict has actually been removed. Your past and your present and your future sins have actually been forgiven, and you are set free. And more than that, remember that when Jesus died, that the curtain in the temple was actually torn in two, which meant that we could actually go into the Holy of Holies, which signifies that now we have fellowship, we have relationship with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that God's love can never, ever, ever be removed from us. I don't know if you can identify this, but when I actually became a Christian around 16 or 17 years of age, I actually think in my early years I became a Christian probably around 200 times, because I felt like I was always moving in and out of a relationship with God. I was always moving in and out of condemnation. So, I was an apprentice builder on a building site, living in a pub down the west coast of Tasmania. And every morning I was disciplined. I would pray and I would read my Bible and I would say to God, today I'm going to live for you. Today I'm going to live a sinless life. Today I'm not going to swear like the rest of my mates. Today I'm not going to use all those, foul jokes like the rest of my mates. Today at night time I'm not going to get hammered like the rest of my mates do on a building site. But do you know what happened? By 10 o'clock I was swearing as much as anybody else. By 3 o'clock I was, using the same smutty jokes, and by 10 o'clock at night I was hammered or smashed out of my head. And every single day I felt completely and utterly condemned and like a complete failure. And I'd imagine that's actually how many of you feel here tonight. You've been trying so hard to do this Christian life, and there's so much sin and so much failure, and you feel condemned and you feel like giving up. But can you hear the Apostle Paul's words upon you? He says, now, because of Jesus, there is no condemnation. Friends, what the Holy Spirit is trying to minister with your spirit about tonight is if you've placed your faith in Jesus, you are loved with the most powerful love in the universe, and that love will actually never be taken from you. You know, sometimes in my head, I actually just got this, you know, this idea that God doesn't actually love Andrew Duncan, that actually God just tolerates Andrew Duncan. So, you know, when Jesus talks, it talks about Jesus being a great high priest, and he's the one who actually intercedes on our behalf. So here in my sort of stupid brain, this is how that works. Like, so, you know, I confess my sins to Jesus, and then he goes to the Heavenly Father, and he says to the Father, he says, you know, we've got a problem. And Father God says, let me guess, it's Andrew Duncan again, isn't it? And Jesus says, yes. And, you know, he's stuffed up again. And this is number 600 and sin number 679. And it's actually only Tuesday. And the Father says, you know, what do we do with him? Do we forgive him again? Do we, you know, cut him loose? Do we get rid of him? He seems to be such a stuff up. And then they get the Holy Spirit in the room and they say to the Holy Spirit, you know, you live with him. You know, what's your verdict? And the Holy Spirit says, I've never experienced anything like it. The guy's life is just a complete and utter sham. He's just a complete and utter mess. Jesus wants to forgive him one more time, but I just say, look, just cut him loose. There's actually no hope. Actually, that's how I feel that often actually God views me. I think that God looks at me and he thinks, he just kind of puts up with me. But do you know what the Apostle Paul says? That is not true. Paul says, now because of what Jesus has done for me, that there is no condemnation, and that when God looks at me, he looks at me through the works of Jesus, and he loves me, and he delights in me, and he has joy in me, and that will never change. I was trying to tell this talk to my kids during the week to see if it'll work again. And I was talking about a father's love for their kids. And I said, you know, as a dad, there's nothing you kids could ever actually do that would remove my love from you. And then Liam said he's got a meth addiction. And Jessie actually said she hasn't been to school for the last 3 years. I think they're making those things up. I'm not sure. But the reality is that even as a fallen, as a flaky, and as a broken father, I'm convinced that there's nothing my kids will ever do that will remove my love for them. Now think about the Heavenly Father. Think about God who is perfect. He says, I see you, I know you, I see your brokenness and your fallenness, but because of Jesus, I love you. There was this guy who when I first started ministry, Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. He's this English preacher, theologian, bit of a crusty dude. He's dead now. I don't know why that's funny, but anyway, like he was sort of, you know, one of those old fire and brimstone type preachers, you know, really into law, really into, you know, moral bootstraps kind of thing. But even he, when he actually got to this verse, do you know what he said? He said, all of our problems come from not understanding chapter 8, verse 1. He says, think about somebody with an addiction. Somebody who is actually addicted to pornography or to alcohol, somebody who's perhaps addicted to entertainment or to beauty products or to whatever it might be. Do you know what is actually at the heart of every addiction? Any two-cent counselor will actually tell you this. At the heart of an addiction is the feeling that you just feel crap about yourself. You feel actually really unworthy. You just want to take something or do something that will actually blot that pain out. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, he says, think about somebody who's actually really insecure. You know, the slightest, you know, little word or little sort of thing that comes their way, they actually fall apart and they get angry and they fall down. Do you know what happens? Why that is so? And we're all insecure to a certain point, aren't we? Because deep down we feel condemned, we feel crap about ourselves. Some of you actually, I won't look at anybody, but some of you don't have many friends. And you know why you don't have many friends is because you have all these rule books about how your friends need to behave. And when they don't behave that way, you're like a porcupine and your spikes go out and you drive them away. Do you know why that is true? Because you actually feel crap about yourself. You actually feel condemned. Some of you actually are really hurting because of the relationship you have with your parents. That somehow your mum and dad haven't loved you the way that you actually desire to be loved, and there's hurt and there's pain and there's disappointment and there's sorrow in your heart. And do you know what you need to hear? That in Christ there is no condemnation, that neither height nor depth nor anything else in all the creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. You are not condemned, you are loved, said Paul. Remember in John 8 where you got that woman who was caught in adultery and she's brought out into the temple? You know, Jesus, in early in the morning, he's teaching in the temple, and then there's this kerfuffle, and they hear this, you know, yelling and pushing and shoving, and they take this woman and they place her in front of Jesus, and there's all these accusations, and it's incredibly hypocritical and unjust, and Jesus deals with the crowd, and then he writes in the ground, and then he looks up, and the crowd is gone, and he looks at this woman, and he says, "Has nobody judged you?" And she says, "No, sir, nobody has judged me." And then he says these most beautiful words. And friends, these are the words that I think God's Spirit actually wants to speak into your hearts tonight. Jesus gets this woman, and I'm sure he took her by the hands and he looked at her in the eye. And he said, "Neither do I condemn you." He says, "Go in peace and leave your life of sin." Friends, we need to know right down to the very core of our being that the moment we place our faith in Jesus, that there is no more condemnation. Your past, your present, and your future sins have actually been dealt with. You are loved with the most enormous love and the most enormous power in the universe, and it can never, ever, ever, ever be taken from you. You could finish this section this way. What I think is the climax of the climax of the climax of the Bible, what God is actually wanting to get us to actually understand and actually experience in our heart, verses 38 to 39. Paul, this complete stuff up, this broken person, he says, I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation, neither addiction, neither sin and failure, neither a broken marriage or a broken friendship, neither a bad HSC score, neither sickness or depression or anything like that, to all the stuff-ups, to all the failures, to all the battlers, there is no condemnation, and nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's good news, isn't it? That's what your heart needs. You need to know this and know the love of God more than anything else in your life. So allow me to pray. Lord, again, these words are so stupidly inadequate. They haven't conveyed you or this passage or the importance of this truth nearly well enough. So God, I pray that again, that your Spirit might be actually at work in our minds and our hearts right now. And I pray for my friends here tonight that they may know right down in the very core of their being that they are loved by you, that there is no condemnation, that you look at us and you see us, you see our brokenness, you see our failing, you see our sin, and you don't hold that against us. God, I pray that we'll learn how to live out of this love and this grace and this forgiveness, that we might dwell in our fellowship with you and know you deeply. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.